Well, if you would this morning, open your Bibles with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I've been thinking and praying for a little while about a series out of the book of Genesis, and this week, even more fervently so. And so I want us to begin a series of messages out of the book of Genesis, which I've entitled, The Beginning of It All. The Beginning of It All. I don't plan to preach through the whole book of Genesis, but I do, Lord willing, plan to preach through the first few chapters, possibly maybe even up to chapter 12. We'll let the Lord lead us. As God lays out for us in Genesis, the beginning of all things, the beginning of it all. The book of Genesis, especially the first few chapters, is foundational to the whole rest of the Bible. It sets forth foundational truths that explain for us what is going on in this world. It sets forth the foundational truths for a Christian worldview, the foundational truth through which we must see and understand everything in life and everything going on in the world. We need to see it through the lens of Scripture. Specifically, that Christian worldview is all laid out in these first few chapters, even in Genesis, and then throughout the entire rest of the Bible. But the foundations of it all are all right here. And so I want us to look at this. We're going to do an introduction this morning, but just look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let's pray. Father, as we have opened your word, we acknowledge that we need your divine help. We know that spiritual things, the truth of your word, are spiritually discerned only by your divine grace, your mercy, your power, your Holy Spirit. And so, God, I pray you would turn the light on this morning. I pray that you would give us understanding. I pray that you would ready our hearts for this study. I pray that you would whet our appetites, God. Give us divine hunger and thirsting for your truth. I pray for any among us, Lord, who might be caught up in the world and the arguments of the world and all the things that assault you and your truth and your word and the origin of the universe. God, I pray that you would bring those in captivity free to the truth of you, the only true and living God, creation, that you created it all. That God, that would be established in so many other truths. And so, Father, help us today. We need you. Build your church up on a solid foundation. I know oftentimes we have those arguments assault us and we are maybe shaken in our faith and we wonder. God, I pray you would solidify the truth of your word in our hearts today. And so God, just accomplish your purpose. We call upon you. We look to you. We rely fully upon you, God, your Spirit, to teach us and do this work, not ourselves. Enable me. Enable us. We need you. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name and for His sake, we pray. Amen. Genesis 1, verse 1 is a summary statement for the first two chapters of the book of Genesis. And it's loaded with truth. The Scripture, the Bible, the Word of God begins with these words, in the beginning. The book of Genesis is all about the beginning. It's all about the beginning of all things. And the word Genesis, the title, means just that. Beginning, are the first, are the chief, the origin, the source. And so Genesis is all about the beginning of it all. It's about the beginning of all things, the creation of the world. It reveals to us how everything that is and how everything that exists came to be. The beginning of it all. The book of Genesis answers life's greatest questions. Where did we come from? How did everything that exists come to be? Why are we here? What is the purpose of life? Why is there evil in the world? Why is there tragedy in the world? Why is there sickness and hurt and harm and death in the world? Why is death a reality that we have to face? Is there any hope over death? Any victory over death? Is there life after death? Where did all the nations come from? All the people groups, all the various languages and dialects, where did that come from? And many other of life's greatest questions are all answered right here in the first few chapters of the book of Genesis. And so the truth revealed here becomes the foundation through which we must see and understand the world. This is the lens through which we must look in order to truly understand our world, what's going on in the world, and everything concerning life. Now, as we introduce this study, I want to begin with the obvious, and that is the great debate. The great debate. When it comes to the origin of life, the origin of all things, where did the world come from? Everything in this world, what is the source of it? It is always led up to this great debate. The great debate. And there are two main views concerning the origin of the universe. Evolution, which says everything just evolved over millions or billions of years, or the biblical account of creation, that there is an infinite eternal God who is existing in eternity outside of creation, who created everything that there is and holds it all together. But as of late, there is a third view that has emerged among professing Christians, a view that now tries to include evolution in the creation account, and that is the view of theistic evolution. And so I want us to think about these three views this morning, because this is what we're up against as we seek to lead others to saving faith in Christ, to the truth of the true God. This is the great debate concerning the origin of the universe. So I want us to think about these arguments. First of all, there's the view of evolution. Evolution. Evolution is the belief that there is no God. That there is no divine designer, there is no creator of all things, but that everything just evolved over millions and are billions of years. And this is a view that has become common and held by many more and more over the last few years. More and more, evolution is the view that many people, as we go out in the world, will now hold to and believe. And if you are a student in middle school or high school or college in the public system, then evolution is what you are being taught as absolute truth, as if it is scientific fact. They teach that there is no creator, there is no God, that everything in this world has just evolved over millions and billions of years. Our public schools and universities teach that evolution, they teach it as if it is irrefutable scientific fact. Now, I just want to say right up front that evolution is not scientific fact. It absolutely is not. There has never been, nor will there ever be, a proven scientific reality for evolution. Evolution, right up front, is the lie of the devil, propagated by men, and bought by millions of people. And it is becoming more and more the common held belief, not because it is scientifically proven, but rather because it soothes the conscience and it justifies people in their sin. You see, if there is no God, then there is no sin. If there is no God, then there is no judgment. If there is no God, then there is no final reckoning. If there is no God, then evolution is now a license for men to live however they want without consequence. Just live it up, do whatever you want to do. No one can say anything against you, because no one has any authority over anyone else. We're all just the product of random chance. So go live it up and sin it up. Now, I do not claim to be an expert on anything. I want you to know that. I am not a scientist. I am not a scholar. I'm just a sinner saved by God's amazing grace and mercy. Now entrusted with a calling to preach. And I don't claim to be the sharpest knife in the drawer. But you do not have to be a rocket scientist or have multiple degrees or letters behind your name to see that evolution falls on its knees and it bows and it crumbles before the God of Scripture. Now I want to just give you two arguments, philosophical, rational arguments to consider against evolution. And maybe you can use these as you come to various questions in the mind of others who would maybe hold to evolution. A couple of arguments. Number one, evolution teaches the scientific impossibility that everything came from nothing. That everything came from nothing. Now that is what they believe. That nothing plus nothing equals everything. And that is a scientific impossibility. Scientifically, that cannot be proven. If I have nothing in my hand, then it doesn't matter how long we wait here. We don't have to be rocket scientists, do we, to realize that that nothing is not all of a sudden, at any point in time, going to become something. If it's nothing, it's nothing. I mean, that's just rational thinking. You don't need a degree to come to that reality. And you mean to tell me that you believe that in the beginning there was nothing existing, nothing at all? And then some way, somehow, from nothing came everything that is, and you want to call that scientific fact? You want to rest your whole worldview and beliefs and eternity on that? Evolution is not science. Evolution is a scientific impossibility, and it's highly irrational. Now that then leaves the evolutionists with a problem. They then scientifically have to begin with something. Mark it. They have to begin with something to be scientifically relevant. So they say, well, there was something. There was something in the beginning. There was a cell. There was an amoeba. There was some cosmic goo, some cosmic slime, there was some stardust, you name it. There are many theories. And then they say, over millions and billions of years, things just kind of slowly, eventually evolved upward and upward, greater and greater complexity, greater and greater sophistication to what we have today, this massive, complex world that we live in. I find it amusing that what evolutionists reject concerning Scripture and the Christian worldview, they themselves readily swallow for their own belief system. The big question that the evolutionists will pose to the God-fearing Christian is, where did God come from? If there was a God who created all that there is, then where did God come from? I would pose this to the evolutionist. Where did your cosmic goo or slime come from? Where did this cell, this amoeba, where did this stardust come from? Do you realize that they are in the same box? They are taking a blind leap of irrational faith that there was something that then became everything we have today. They take a blind leap of faith. Do not let the evolutionists convince you that their belief is based on science. It's based on an irrational leap of faith, that there was something. So when they pose that question to you, pose it right back to them. We see the problem. Evolution is a false belief system, not based on science, but irrational faith. Christianity based on rational faith makes sense. Evolution, irrational faith. And so mark that. Now, if you can take that leap that everything came from nothing, or that there was something, no clue what, and from that something everything just evolved, then the next thing you have to do is believe that everything in the universe happened by chance. It happened by chance. Now that is the myth of the whole evolution theory. Once you somehow get something from nothing, or you make the leap of faith that there was something that then evolved, then you have to believe that it all happened by chance. They reject the God of Scripture. They reject the account of creation revealed by God in Scripture, and they say there is no God. Everything that is in this massive complexity of the universe, utterly unsearchable by man. I mean, even science, they haven't scratched the surface of everything there is to know in this universe. They haven't the faintest began to search it out. This complexity of this universe, you have to then believe, have to take this great leap that it came about by chance. By chance. Now understand, chance cannot make anything happen. Chance is not a power. Chance is not a force. Chance cannot operate and do anything. Chance is just happenstance. Chance cannot create something from nothing. And chance can't create something else from something. Chance is not a power. Chance can't do anything. Chance is a way for those who reject God and His sovereign power and ability to just explain how things come to be. It was just the process of chance, even random chance. Just somehow, some way, it came to be. Well, chance does not exist. And even if it did, it certainly does not have power to create. It does not have power to create the complexity of the universe. Point to anything in this world that happens by chance. Ray Comfort has well pointed out this simple reality. We look at a building. It's pretty rational. And we look at this building, the floors, the angle of the floors, the steps, the carpet, the pulpit, the design of the pulpit, the piano, the organ, all this stuff, the bricks laid, how they are. And instantly we know with all this, there was a designer. This did not evolve or just happened to come to be by chance. I mean, somebody planned, somebody organized, somebody worked and sweated and toiled and put this building together. We would be a fool to think otherwise. Correct? Look at anything. Look at a car, a vehicle. You look at that car, man, it's got tires, rubber tires. It can go down the road. It's got an engine. It's designed. It's machined. It's all put together to combust and everything to work in timing. There's a gas pedal, a brake pedal, steering wheel. There's air conditioning, electrical system, all that. We look at a car and instantly we know someone designed and manufactured that car. We would be a fool to think otherwise. And then somehow man looks at all of creation that his mind cannot even fathom because it has such complexity, such design that he cannot even search it out, absolute order, and then man reasons chance. Oh, it just somehow happened to have design and order, the sun so many miles from the earth spinning on the axis, all this stuff just happened by chance. All of a sudden, man becomes a fool and says there's no God, there's just chance. Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. When DNA was discovered, it completely and totally destroyed evolutionary theory. Species being able to evolve from one species to another. Evolution says from some cosmic goo, there was an amoeba, there was a cell, something, and then it just evolved over billions and billions of years into a tadpole, into a fish, into a monkey, into a man, and yet never, listen to this, never has there been one scientific discovery to support any of that. Not one fossil record. Nothing. Ever. And when DNA was discovered, what they did find was that there is no possible way for one cell of a species to be able to transform and evolve into another species. Now, they don't come out and write that in all their books. They keep that under wraps. But study it out. When DNA discovered, no possible way for one cell to then have the information and be able to evolve into another species. Now, there can be variations within species. There can be adaptation. There can be various types of monkeys, various types of dogs within species, adapting within species. But there is no possible way for one species to adapt and evolve into a completely different species. It's impossible. Every living thing is made up of cells full of DNA. And scientists have now discovered that DNA is a massively complexity of code and information that determines everything that makes up that physical life. I mean, it's mind-boggling to them. In just one little cell, and your body has thousands and millions of cells, but in just that one little cell is every piece of information for your physical structure and everything about you. Everything. In every single speck of DNA, from individual to individual, even within species, humanity, within every monkey, within everything that is, it is unique to that one thing and that one thing alone. There's only one like you with your exact DNA code. Yes, we pass that on to their children, our children, yet they have their own unique DNA, unique to them. We have our own unique DNA, unique to us. And you cannot take that DNA and then all of a sudden from human DNA make a monkey. And you can't take human monkey's DNA and from that, and they're trying to, and all of a sudden try to make a human, because within that DNA is only that information to make that monkey or that fish or that bird or that human. It cannot evolve. And what you find is that DNA then supports that God created each thing according to its own order. It didn't evolve. When God made monkeys, He made monkeys with their own DNA encoded in them. It cannot evolve into something else. When God made humans, He made them with their own code of DNA. And it can't evolve into another species. Impossible. And so you look at the fundamental leaps of faith that evolution makes, the scientific impossibility of it, and you have to wonder why evolution goes virtually unchallenged among the intellectually elite and the scholars of this world. They act as if this is scientifically unalterably the truth, and it's an absolute deception. It is a lie of the devil. Now, sadly, we have to address another view, and by the way, this is important. And Paul says in Acts 20, I didn't cease warning you night and day of the savage wolves that would come in and try to deceive you, lead you astray. So warning and pulling out the arguments that come against us and then tearing down those arguments with truth is very important. And so that's why we're spending some time here. This is the big debate. This is the big question. This is something we need to know. We need to know the arguments. Another view is this, and that is theistic evolution. Theistic evolution. And it has to do with trying to somehow get evolution from Scripture. This is an increasingly widely held view. I know professing Christians who hold to this view. It's becoming more and more widely held among the professing church, and because of that, we need to know about it and its fallacies, its lies. Theistic evolution is a view that professes to believe in God, yet they believe that God created everything by the process of evolution. In all reality, they deny the clear teaching of Scripture, the biblical account of creation revealed in Genesis. They attribute Genesis 1, 2, and 3, sometimes even more, to allegory, all to symbolism, or they just deny it altogether in an attempt to fit evolution into their worldview. And why would they do that? Because they too have bought the lie of evolution. Because they think science has a footing and somehow evolution is true, and so now we got to backstep and we got to try to fit evolution into our worldview of God and the Scripture. How do we do that? And so they come up with theistic evolution. Let's do that. There's variances within this view. There's the gap theory, which kind of says, you know, God started everything in motion. God kind of started it at the beginning, and then God just kind of stepped back and took a seed, and He let an evolutionary process take hold, hold and take over. There was this massive gap for where God just began things, and then a massive gap of billions of years of evolution. The gap theory. Others believe in the day-age theory. By the way, the gap theory would not believe in these days in Genesis. They just throw that out. The day-age theory, they're trying to fit it in with the days. They would believe in the days of creation revealed in Genesis 1, but they believe that those days of creation are day-ages. In other words, the first day was millions and millions and maybe billions of years. The second day, millions and millions and billions of years. And so they make day-ages to try to fit evolution in. The problem with this view, there's another little view, there's many, variances in this. There's progressive creationist. They fall into this category, very similar. They just think things kind of progressively evolved more and more. But the problem with this view is that Scripture does not say there was the first day, there was the second day, there was the third day, but Scripture very clearly says there was an evening and there was a morning, the first day. Again, you don't have to be a scholar. What kind of a day has an evening and a morning? Huh? One day. How many hours in that day? 24, right? There was a morning and an evening. That first day, that's a 24-hour day. So Genesis clearly teaches these days as literal 24-hour days. But rather than, go first to the Word of God, they don't go first to Scripture and let the Scripture speak and then try to look through the lens of Scripture in order to understand the world. They go to the world and the world cries out, evolution. There is no God. There's evolution. And then they approach the Scripture and try to fit what the world says into the Scripture. That's theistic evolution. This question needs to be asked to the theistic evolutionist. If you do not believe the biblical account of creation, then what makes you think you can believe the biblical account of salvation? If you don't believe what God says in His Word, then where do you pick up and even start believing it? Those who say they believe the Bible, they believe in God, but then they deny the biblical account of creation as revealed in Genesis, must also deny much of the Scripture. Just a couple of examples. If you reject Genesis and say God created everything by evolution, then what do you do with the reality of death? Because death doesn't come until Genesis 3. Man is already there existing. Man sins against God. And when man sins against God, man falls into the depths of depravity, and death is the result. So if you've got a process of evolution, what does evolution say? It's the fight for the fittest, right? Anything goes. It's dog-eat-dog world out there. And so what do you have? You have a little fish evolving and dying, and fishes evolving and dying, and tadpoles and monkeys all the way up through the chain till eventually you get to the very top and man comes out, right? But there's been a whole process of death before that. So what do you do with that? I guess you got to rip that out of your Bible. Rip out the literal doctrine of sin and depravity from Scripture because of your false belief of evolution. Start ripping your Bible out. Start tearing pages out of it. That's what you got to do. If you say you believe in the Bible and God and yet reject the account of Genesis concerning creation, then there are a massive amount of scriptural quotes and references to this creation account in the rest of Scripture. There's over 100 direct quotes or references to Genesis chapters 1 through 11 alone in the New Testament. Just those 11 chapters. There are multiple references to God creating the world, not evolution, and multiple references to God creating the world and man even by Jesus. Mark 13, verse 19. Mark 13, verse 19, Jesus says, since the beginning of creation, which God created, it was not by chance creating something. It was not by an evolutionary process. Jesus said, which God created. God did this. Mark 10, verse 6, Jesus clearly says of mankind, in the beginning, God made them male and female, not an evolutionary process. Now, if man was the product of evolution and its process over billions of years, you have a problem with Jesus. And you have a problem with what Jesus taught. And time literally fails us to go through all the Scripture and try to root out everything that you would have a problem with if you deny the creation account of Genesis. You will have to rip up much of your Bible and throw it away. Theistic evolution is a sinking ship. They have departed from the truth. And I would ask this to anyone who would hold to that. Who made you judge over God and His Word? Who are you to pick and choose? Who are you to climb up the bench and set God and His Word on trial as though it must bow to you and your intellect? Understand to take hold of the Scripture and attribute any of it to myth, fairy tale, or to adapt it to your own liking and your own views is a serious assault on God. We realize that? You do not mess with God or His Word. People think they can. They think they can get away with it because of God's infinite mercy and grace. But they won't get away with it forever. Serious warnings in Scripture to those who would assault God and His Word. Evolution is an assault against God. Evolution is an assault against God, His authority, His Word, its moral implications upon all men and all society. And so why would any professing Christian then hop on the evolution train and buy into that junk in order to try to make it fit in with what is in all reality a scientific impossibility, even absurdity? Evolution. Now that leads us to the third and final view. With all humility, it is the correct view. It's the only logical, rational view, though it is truly believed only by God's mercy and grace. And that is the biblical account of creation. The Bible teaches us that there is an infinite, eternal, holy, all-powerful God. And He is existing outside of time and outside of space, outside of creation, who then created all that there is, the heavens and the earth, the universe, and all that is in it, all of mankind, everything that exists, created by this eternal God. And so that's the biblical account. God, the one and only true and living God, created all that there is. And we see that proclaimed here, Genesis 1 verse 1 again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in those first few words, God is just summarizing the whole of the creation account of the world and everything in it. And understand, the Bible does not seek to prove God's existence. It simply proclaims it. And it does not seek to prove that God created all that there is. It simply proclaims it. It proclaims that God is, and that God is the creator of all that there is. My responsibility before God is not to prove to you or anyone that God exists. My responsibility before God is not to, you know, sit back and rack my brain and try to come up with some well-reasoned argument to try to prove to others why God exists, nor is it your responsibility before God or Christ. And we have a responsibility, amen, to proclaim the truth, not just a pastor in a pulpit, but every true Christian, to all that we can, proclaim the truth of the Word of God. Preach the Word, shout it from the housetops, you shall be witnesses unto me. And understand this, it's not your responsibility to try to prove the existence of God or that He created all things. It is your responsibility, my responsibility, simply to proclaim that He is the only true God and that He did create all that there is. And then we trust and we pray fervently that God will do the rest. Understand, true faith and true belief in God, true faith and true belief in the Scripture and every word of it, is not a product of man. It's not by man's will. It's not by how smart man is, how intellectually attuned he is. It's not by man's ability at all, anything that man can do. True faith, true belief in God, everything that God has written in the Scripture is the work of the Holy Spirit. By the mercy and grace of God through Jesus Christ, by the hearing of the Word. Somebody reads the Word, somebody teaches the Word, somebody preaches the Word, and through the hearing of that Word, God intervenes, God opens blinded eyes, God drives the truth in, God gives divine understanding to see the truth. Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How do you get faith? By hearing the Word of God. That's the only way. John 6:44, Jesus said, no one can come to me unless my Father who sent me draws him. No one unless God draws. God draws us. All of us who are truly saved can testify that reality. We were sinners, caring not about God, going our own way, and God intervened and he opened our eyes and he began to draw us and he turned on the light and we began to see things we had never seen before. True faith, true understanding, belief in the true and living God and His Word is a work of God and God alone. And so as we approach the Word, we're going to let God do the work. And that's what we do all the time. Amen. We come to this Word, we just proclaim what it says, and we pray fervently and trust in God to do the work. Now, we're getting near the end, but I want to just say a few things here. It's been pointed out often by others, a man by the name of Herbert Spencer. He died in 1903. And he came to the discovery that everything that exists in the universe, everything that exists in all of creation, exists in five distinct categories: time, force, action, space, and matter. Now you look at those things, chew on those things, think about those things. It's again, pretty plain. It's pretty simple logic. I don't know that I could have come up with those five categories, but everything that exists exists in those five things. It exists in time. We know that. Time is ticking, isn't it? We're not getting any younger. Every day, time is ticking. We're amazed all the time, more and more, how fast time is flying. Time is fleeting. Time is ticking in the world. There are forces at play in the world. I mean, something is holding this universe in space. Something is causing it to the earth to spin on its axis. Something is causing the sun to shine in its strength. There are forces. There is power at work in this universe. There are actions. People are taking actions and making decisions and doing things every moment of every day, and they have ramifications. And then everything that is existing in space. We're not floating in nothingness. We're existing in real space. And then there is matter that makes up everything that there is in this physical world. Tangible matter. Every person, everything. All of creation exists in those five categories: time, force, action, space, matter. And then when you look at Genesis 1, notice what you see, verse 1. In the beginning, time. God, force. Created, action. The heavens, that is space in which everything exists, and the earth, that is matter. God created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. That is the proclamation of the Word of God. And think of it this way: God is eternal. He's existing outside of creation. He's existing outside of time and space. I've said it many times before. I'll just come down here again. Imagine, it's hard for us, it's this massive complexity of a world. But imagine that everything that there is created, everything that man could ever search out to the ends of it if he could, God has put in the box of creation. And even in that little box, man can try and try with all of his might. He can't scratch the surface of what God has created there, nor can he understand even the depths of what God has created there in the smallest of things. Is that true? God is existing outside of the realm of time and space and everything that He created. He is the Eternal One. We see that in Scripture, Isaiah 57, verse 15. It tells us God inhabits eternity. God's not confined within time and space. We are. We're confined within time and space. But God created time and space. And God is not limited to the restraints of the physical laws that He has placed upon us or those laws that He established in the world. God created physical laws, gravity, everything that is existing is laws in this universe. But God Himself is not restrained by those laws. God created them. And at any moment, God can invade this creation and do things that are miraculous. And God is sovereignly in control of creation. He's directing it all, and He is sovereignly upholding it by the word of His power. It's the only reason we continue to live and draw in breath, and the earth spins on its axis. And so much more could be said, but the biblical account of creation proclaims a holy, loving, merciful, good, gracious, glorious God beyond comprehension, who created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. And you can either believe that or you can believe the lie. Whatever lie you want to hold up on the scale, it's going to crumble at this God and His Word and this truth. Now know this. What we believe concerning the origin of the universe and all that is in it affects everything else we believe. Just a couple of examples. If you believe the lie of evolution, then you have to disregard any value to life. Life is worth nothing. If it's all just the process of random chance, it's just dog eat dog, death after death, and evolving to what we have today, then your life is worth nothing. You're just product of random chance. You have no purpose. And don't say that you do if you believe in evolution. You can't. Falls out the bottom. But if you believe in the God who created all that there is, then you must also believe that life then has immense purpose. There is a God who created everything with divine order. There is a God who knit us in our mother's womb. There is a God who fashioned our days when as yet there were none of them. There's a God who created us with purpose in mind and a divine purpose, and we are to fulfill that purpose. All of a sudden, life and everything in life becomes very meaningful. Life becomes very precious. Life then has dignity. It's created in the very image of God. You see the difference? And then we wonder why the world is getting worse and worse when this is what men buy. The lie of evolution instead of the truth of God's Word. The lie of evolution, if you believe that, then there's no basis for morality. No basis for right and wrong. You live in an anything-goes society, and your opinion is just that. It's an opinion. It has no weight or value over the next guy. So the next guy or woman can do anything they want to do, and it has no ramifications, because who are you to tell them? You think you have some higher moral, you know, ability than they do? You see that? We see this consuming our world, don't we? When you believe this, then babies can be killed at will in their mother's womb. Life means nothing. Family, home structure, children, their purpose, just leave them to fend for themselves. Everything begins to be destroyed. If you believe in evolution, then you are forced to live your best life now. Because tomorrow you die. So go live it up, eat it up, sin it up, drink it up, whatever you want to do, because this is all you got. Good luck. But if you believe in the eternal loving God who created all things and gave us His Son as a Savior, then oh my, this life isn't all there is. There's a God worth worshiping, a God worth glorifying, His divine purpose to fulfill. And once we're in Christ and washed in His blood, there's an eternity with Him forever and ever, a new heavens and a new earth. I mean, what you believe about this is going to affect everything about you. It has immense implications on everything. The biblical account of creation is the only view that gives true meaning and purpose and worth to life. And so I would ask you this morning, what do you believe? Do you truly believe right here and right now that this eternal God, beyond comprehension, holy, high, lifted up, exalted, existing in eternity, created the heavens and the earth and everything that is in them? Or do you believe the lie? This is of critical importance. Now I'll close with this. We're almost there. This was actually part of the introduction, but I'm going to leave it, okay? But just, this leads us to the great question. There's the great debate. Okay, the great question is this. If this world and everything that exists in it is created by this magnificent eternal God, then who is He? How do we know who He is? How do we know that He created all of this? How do we know how it came to be? Oh, there's only one answer. And that is, if this awesome, eternal, holy, great God would then reveal Himself to you and me and make Himself known to us, who He is and what He has done. That's the only way possible. It's the only way possible. And you know what God has done? Just that. This is not the words of men. People say, oh, that Bible is just written by a bunch of ancient men. They're out of touch with reality. Oh, no. This Bible's living. If you're in Christ, you know, it's alive. I was 23 years old when I walked into a church and I heard a man, just a man, preaching this word, and it pierced me through. It showed me my sin and wickedness. It showed me this God was real. He changed my life. He saved me. I've never been the same because this God is not a myth, a fairy tale, words on a page. This God is enthroned in eternity and He holds the world in His hands. That's who He is. That's who He is. And this God has revealed Himself to us, and His Word is alive. It pierces to the heart and the soul. It leaves us naked with nowhere to run before this God except to Christ. Except to Christ. I want to tell you as we close the issue of man rejecting the Genesis account of creation, whether it be evolution, theistic evolution, or any other view, is not a matter of science, it's a matter of sin. Know that. I'm going to take you to one passage and we'll close. This is the Gospel of John chapter 3. And many of you already know where I'm heading. John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. That's the world. That's the evolutionists. That's those who say there is no God. I don't want a God because that exposes me for who I am, my sin, my depravity, my wretchedness, my eternity heading for hell, and my utter desperate need to run to Jesus, the Savior and Lord. And men say, no God. Chance. I want to live how I want to live. Don't buy the lie. Don't follow the foolishness of men. Follow the truth of the living God. So the beginning of it all, only two choices. Only two choices. The biblical account of creation or the foolishness of men. That's it. And so where do you stand? What do you believe? And how is it impacting your life? If you need to be saved, then run to Jesus. There is a Savior who has died in our place, paid the price in full, and in Christ, the Bible says clearly, is life everlasting, forgiveness of sins, cleansing, divine life imparted to you, the assurance of everlasting life, life with a purpose right here, right now. But you need to turn from sin and come to this Jesus who died for you. There's hope for anyone. Don't matter who they are, what they've done, there's hope for anyone in Jesus. Run to Jesus. And if you are saved, then, beloved, we need to know the great debate and the arguments that are coming against us and how to counter these with the truth and most importantly, fervently pray for them, but then proclaim what God has said to them. That's our responsibility. Lord willing, as we come here next Sunday, we're just going to begin to plow, and yet a lot of these things will be brought to the surface, the arguments, things as we go. And so let's stand this morning. If you're able to stand, let's ask the Lord to be with us in this study and even today and even right now at this moment, that we would take this to heart and think these things through and respond to Him in faith believing. Father, we thank you for this time.